Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer. Christ is just the Greek word for Messiah. We say Christ in Greek language, but it was Messiah or Mashiach in the Hebrew. He said that the Messiah would suffer has thus been fulfilled. Therefore repent, that just means change, and return, that is, to God, so that your sins can be wiped away. In order that times, now look, here's where we want to get to Friday night. In order that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Come to Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit in order that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. Not physical refreshing, not Coca-Cola, not Dr. Pepper, not lemonade. Refreshing, spiritual refreshing. And that He might send back Jesus, the Messiah appointed for you. Now look, verse 21 carefully. Whom heaven must retain or receive until. Well, how long is heaven going to hold on to Jesus? Until, Peter says, the period of the restoration of all things. Now, that's what Joel was saying. That's why Joel would talk about what would happen in Peter's time and then all of a sudden jump 2,000 plus years into the future and start talking about our day. Because it began then, but what God didn't say is there would be a lapse. He just said, it starts now. Didn't say anything about the lapse. He said, but then he begins to talk about this restoring. Well, why would he bring up restoring? Because it died out. But now in these last days, that's why I said Friday night, you're seeing all these preachers on TV, you know, preaching healing, preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and people are trying to stamp them out everywhere and can't do it. Can't do it. You notice they tried to stamp out Jesus, couldn't do it. Tried to stamp out his 12 apostles, all 12 of those Jewish men, couldn't do it. It's amazing how Jesus said that message would go all over the world, and it did. In spite of all that they faced, in spite of the hatred and the people that tried to stop it from getting out. Can't stop it. And now we're finishing up the final part of God's plan, and we get to see it happen. We get to see the last part of the play. He said, heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things that God spoke about by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet. He's quoting Deuteronomy 18:18. The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me, a leader that is. To him, and notice he said that it would be raised up like me from among your brethren. Jesus had to be a Jew. The Messiah had to be a Jew. To him you should give heed to everything he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that does not give heed to that prophet will utterly be destroyed from among the people. And likewise, look at this, all the prophets have spoken from the Old Testament. All the prophets have spoken from Samuel and his successors onward. They have announced these days. It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, now look, he said it all the way back to Abraham. And in your seed, one person, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Through one of the descendants of Abraham, everybody, even my Arab self, I'm not Jew, I'm not Hebrew, I'm Arab. But thank God I got to get in on it because I accepted the Messiah. Notice that all the way back in the time of Abraham, God was already talking about bringing in every nation. And he said, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed, Abraham, because of your descendant. And you first, God raised up his servant for you first. Now notice that carefully because that's where we're going to head in the direction next. For you first, talking to the Jews, you first. Notice Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. For you first, God raised up his servant. That is Jesus, and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Now, what was the point of that? See, here's the deal. We're finishing up the plan of God in the earth. God is going to bring about the return of Jesus. We talked a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about it more. But you can go back to, as we see the final plans of God, you can see the beginnings. You notice there he talked about Abraham, and he said some of the things and quoted the things that he said to Abraham. You remember in Genesis chapter 22, we have the account of Isaac being offered up. Remember that when God spoke? I'm going to read some of that to you. Listen to what God's doing way back in the old covenant, back in the time of Abraham. See, these are not new things. Chapter 22, it said, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, yeah, I'm here. He said, take now your son, your only son." Now, did you notice he didn't call his other son Ishmael, that God didn't even refer to him as a son, like the Muslims say? Now, I don't know if you know the history here, but if you don't, you need to start reading your Bible more. Remember, God promised Abraham a son. Years went by. Some 12 years or so, no son. So Sarah says, "Hey, Abraham, you know, God promised us a son. Maybe he meant that you're to sleep with our Egyptian maid Hagar." And maybe that's what he meant. So Sarah comes up with this idea, and then Ishmael was born. That was a work of the flesh. That wasn't a work of the power of the Spirit. That was no miracle. That was something she concocted, and he just went along with. No miracle there. No power of the Holy Spirit, just the flesh. So Ishmael is a son of a type of the flesh, things we just do on our own that aren't even a part of God's plan. But see, the Muslims have twisted that. Remember, they came 600 years after Jesus and came up with this. And then they say, well, now Ishmael was the son of promise. Do you know when God spoke to Abraham, he never even mentioned Ishmael. In fact, he called Isaac, the son who came by a miracle, the real son. He said he referred to him as your only son. He didn't even consider Ishmael. Did you notice that? He said, "Your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning. You know the story. Skip down to verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Well, here I am, son." He said, "Behold, we got the fire. We got the wood, but where's the lamb for the offering?" Now notice a lamb. See, they were all familiar with animal sacrifices where blood would be shed for the remission of sin. Is God concerned about slaughtering animals, or was he trying to tell his very people, the Jewish people, about something that was going to happen 2,000 years in the future? And why would he tell Abraham to offer up his son? Because he was going to do the same thing in just a few years. Now notice, Isaac's like, "Hey, where's the lamb?" Now how do you explain that to your son? Or, son, you're it. Now you notice why God tested Abraham. He never had any intention of letting him go through for it. He's just trying to test the faith of Abraham. Because see, it was through Isaac that the Lord said, all of the descendants about this Messiah I'm talking about, they're going to come through Isaac. The son of promise, the son of a miracle. Remember, Jesus was born by a miraculous birth. He said, all your descendants are going to come through this one. And now God turns right around to him and says, now offer that son up. What was he doing? He was testing the faith of Abraham. We go over to the New Testament, it says that Abraham had faith, so much faith, that he believed that as soon as he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. A type of what God would do through the Messiah. So Abraham had such great faith, he thought, okay, God said burn him up. He must be going to raise him from the dead. Well, he goes on, verse 8, he said, Abraham, God will provide for himself. Now look at this prophetic statement. God's going to provide for himself a lamb, a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. You know, there's some discrepancy among fools, I mean people, as to whether Jesus went down into hell or whether he didn't go to hell. Pam recently told me she got into and there's just all kinds of debate over between foolish people over whether that she's at work and her boss said that Jesus, you know, didn't go to hell. There were two compartments in the Old Testament before Jesus was raised from the dead. One was Sheol And then the other one was the Abraham's bosom, where the people that were believers in God under the old covenant would go. And then the ones that were not believers of God would go to the burning place called Sheol. And so he said, no, Jesus just went over to this place called Abraham's bosom, where all of the saints of the old covenant that believed in God would go until Jesus was raised from the dead. And you know the account that they were all taken up into heaven. And he was fussing with Pam about it. And Pam's like, you know, could you explain a little more to me about that so I can go back and help him? And so I talked to her a little bit about it. And Jesus did not go to the place of comfort. He went to the place of torment. Remember, he's a substitute. The Messiah was a substitute. You notice they wanted a sacrificial lamb because he was going to be the placement or the substitute for the sins of the people. And God told Abraham, now do your son like that. What tremendous faith Abraham's had. So anyway, so I said, Pam, I said, no, I said, Jesus did go to hell. I said, number one, he's our substitute, as you know. She said, yeah, I knew that. I told him that. And I'm just giving you a synopsis. I said, so he was our substitute, so he did have to pay that price. He did go there. I said, and I just read, you know, of course you knew that, she knew that, from the place where it says that David prophesied that you will not leave my soul in Hades. Not leave it there. Well, that means it had to be there. And you know the Greek word Hades is what we call hell, H-E-L-L. And I said, just tell him to go through the New Testament and run his reference on Hades. You'll find that every reference either alludes to or specifically talks about a place of torment, of fire. And I said, so just tell him to do that and he'd have his answer. I said, but then also, I said, did you ever notice that under the old covenant that all of the animal sacrifices, that the animal would have to be slain, but did you know also that there was always fire involved? I said, go tell that bright one that and see what they say. Now notice what they needed here. He said, I see the fire. Well, why not just slay the lamb? What's the fire mean? What was that typifying? Do you ever notice they were all burnt sacrifices? Wonder what that meant. Let me think. Okay, I got my answer. Hello? No, it's just like the Bible said. Jesus went to Hades. He suffered your fate so you don't have to. That's what the substitutionary sacrifice. Why do you think God instituted animal sacrifices for the Jew? Because they were all types and shadows of what he was going to do somewhere down the line in the sacrifice and the shed blood of his son. And you notice he even told Abraham, take your son and sacrifice him. Now, why would he ask him to do that except he was trying to paint a picture without saying it? Do you notice God left a lot of those things hidden to where you wouldn't find out necessarily the fullness of it until maybe after the fact? And these apostles were the same way. They would recall scripture after scripture after scripture from their testaments, the Old Testament, about the Messiah. Just to trust his cleansing blood,
just and simple faith. I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is God's Plan for the Last Days. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. To trust.